The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Ambulance services were back in the spotlight following an incident earlier this week in which a woman from County Clare was left waiting 4 hours on the roadside for an ambulance following a collision. In a moment, we're going to speak to somebody who runs an ambulance service. But in the meantime, Graham Helps is with me. Graham's son, Alex, was forced to wait over 45 minutes. Graham, is that right?
That's correct, yes.
So this was in June 2022. Tell me what happened.
My son left our house in Selbridge. My son left our house in Selbridge midday summer holidays to go to his work. Walked off our estate down the road, went across the road and was hit by a car. Basically, long and short accident, serious head injury. He was attended to by nurses, fantastic care. A local GP attended to him. The guards were called, ambulances were called. The guards arrived, closed the road. No ambulance had arrived. The guards took on to call the ambulance. They were told it would be approximately 45 minutes to the ambulance arriving. The ambulance would be coming from Mullingar. We're obviously in Selbridge, not a stone's throw from Maynooth, Leixlip. My son was transferred to Connolly Hospital. When we arrived, we were told his head injury was too severe and, unfortunately, he wouldn't survive. We moved to intensive care. He was there overnight. The following day, more scans were done, which were transferred to... Beaumont Hospital. And they came back with the results that there was nothing they could do for us. Mm-hmm. So we made the decision to switch off his life support. We also discussed with the doctors there the opportunity of organ donation. Both my sons were with St John's Ambulance, been volunteers since they were 10. And this is our opportunity to give something to help other people. We were told, unfortunately, because of the lack of oxygen at the roadside and the delay in the ambulance service responding, they were unable to use any of his organs. They weren't viable. When the guards arrived, they were directed by the GP. They called our GP. He came and attended. They said nurses attended. They scoured Selbridge for suction, the opportunity for suction. Yeah. And eventually found a mobile suction unit from a dentist, which they came and they attended with him. Obviously, had an ambulance arrived earlier, whilst it wouldn't have made a difference to our outcome for my son, as I said, he could have gone on to help other people if the equipment had arrived sooner.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. The response time is approximately expected between 7 and 15 minutes, I believe it is, for the area we live, 7 to 19 minutes. 45 minutes just seems an awful long time for us to wait.
It's an awful long time anywhere in the country. Selbridge is not in the middle of nowhere. I mean, you're just in the outskirts of Dublin. It strikes me you'd probably, you wouldn't run it, but you'd cycle to James Connolly Hospital in under 45 minutes, wouldn't you?
Yes.
From where you are?
Yes, yeah. 25 minutes, about maybe, on a clear road.
Did you ever find out why it took 45 minutes?
As I said, the ambulance came from Mullingar. We heard from the coroner's inquest, we heard from the guards giving their evidence that they called the ambulance repeatedly and they were just told it's going to be 45 minutes. That's it. They expressed how serious the injury was with the GP attending, and they... But our GP is actually used to work in Beaumont Hospital in the search, so he's familiar with head injuries, so he has made an assessment himself to the seriousness of the injury. The coroner, when we delivered the verdict, whilst there would be no outcome, did say she would be writing a letter to the ambulance service with a request to explanation as to why it took so long. And to date, I'm under no illusion the letter has gone, but we've heard no response as of today.
Okay.
And that's where we are.
David Hall is with us as well. He's the CEO of Lifeline Ambulance Service. David, how common are situations like that? You know, we had the story that's kind of shone attention back on it, the situation in Clare. Graham tells the story about Selbridge. how often is that target, the ambulance target times, are they hit and how often are they missed?
Well, they're missed regularly, and every report that's been published, Kieran, for the last number of years show the exact same statistics where there are people waiting for ambulances in critical categories. The response times, it is fair to say, are a crude assessment in relation to the quality of care given by ambulance crews, and that is something that should be reviewed. But it doesn't get away from the fact that in Graham's situation, in Alex's situation, and indeed, you know, a testament to Graham and his own family, their concern is the organ donation after losing their son.
Yeah.
And not having the comfort to know that after 45 minutes lying on the side of the road, that there is an adequate ambulance service that can respond. You mentioned Dublin. There's a long-standing battleground between Dublin Fire Brigade and the HSC that's gone on for 30-odd years that undoubtedly, in my mind, has cost many lives. I guarantee you no phone call was made to an ambulance service in Dublin. My ambulance base that is contracted by the HSE, where they hire 25 ambulances from me every day and pay me, so they already pay me,
yeah,
is 10 minutes from where Alex had his accident. No phone call was made to me, nor has any phone call been made to me or any of my colleagues in the other ambulance services. Somebody has made a decision to protect their kingdom.
So can you just explain that for people listening to this who don't live in Dublin and have no experience of it, and say if they live in my part of the world, you call the ambulance is dispatched from the local hospital. So what happens in Dublin?
In Dublin, and we're on the border there with Selbridge being, with Kildare being the National Ambulance Service. The National Ambulance Service is responsible for the ambulance service in the state. There's responsibility being given to the Dublin Fire Brigade only in Dublin, where they have a fire service and an ambulance service, of which there are benefits and negatives.
But the National Ambulance Service is still responsible ultimately for the response of the fire brigade in this situation,
It isn't, in the sense that there's not been the coordination and cooperation that there should be. These are patients. Like, ultimately, a patient is not in the centre of the system at the moment. If the patient is at the centre of the system, the nearest ambulance, irrespective of who owned that ambulance, would have been dispatched. In Alex's situation, and indeed the lady in Clare's situation. The standoff and the bureaucracy and the kingdom protection that's in place at the moment around the place. And that, by the way, doesn't have nothing to do with my ambulance service. I am a paramedic. I own an ambulance service that has 60 ambulances based nationally. And I do 24,000 patient transfers a year. My biggest client is the HSE. I know the system intimately. Mm. And I can say categorically it's unsafe. And from a regulatory perspective, the regulator has inspected my ambulance service and all ambulance services, and anyone who wants to see them are on the website, phecc.ie. Mine score the highest. The ambulance service, the state ambulance service, is 30% behind. Somebody made a conscious decision not to ring other ambulance services, not just mine. My competitors have other ambulance services around the country, to find the nearest appropriate ambulance to dispatch to Alex and to other people around the country. And that's gambling with lives to protect the kingdom, not wanting to open what is a dysfunctional ambulance service to the public.
Why would they want to protect those kingdoms?
They want to protect their kingdoms because they don't want any privatisation. They don't want any risk of privatisation. I have no interest in running an ambulance service doing 999 calls. I have got my own system and structure, as have other people got to do. This is about the patient, not about any ambulance service. So the system needs to be adjusted in such a way.
But it's about principle. It's about principle. They don't want, this should be a public service, and I'm not going to ring this private company
who might not have union members, and therefore I'm going to gamble with patients' lives. Why 20 years ago, when I would do maybe 50 or 60 shifts a week for the National Ambulance Service, as did my colleagues in other ambulance services around the country, doing 999 works when they had gaps in their rosters, who made the decision and why, in circumstances such as Claire and such as Alex's situation, was I or else not wrong? Do you know what's even worse, Kieran? I'm paid every day by the National Ambulance Service and the HSE, which are all the one. They're not the one. We don't have a National Health Service. It's all silos. They pay me every day. Why wouldn't they run me one of the ambulances they're already paying me for? This is not about me looking for extra work. This is a coordinated, competent approach to look after patients, not kingdoms, not egos, and not union membership.
And had we a coordinated approach, how would it be structured? Is it that those ambulances that should have been dispatched to Alex, that they would be available, and that maybe your ambulances would be kind of doing the jobs that they were doing in the system, patient transfers and what have you?
Exactly. And every day, one of my ambulances flagged out in an accident, we bring people to hospital and there's no charge to the HSE. Fire in Wexford, I send 12 ambulances to the hospital down there who asked me to send ambulances there, no charge. We work as a community and as a collective. But ultimately, on the night that Alex needed the ambulance, what should have happened, and there's no guarantee, and myself and Graham had this conversation earlier on, there's still no guarantee there was an ambulance available because things happen. That's just life. But unfortunately, on that night, we all need to know, or the day, at 12 midday on a Wednesday afternoon, we need to know that when that call came in and the seriousness was escalated, multiple phone calls, that the National Ambulance Service rang the Dublin Fire Brigade, or they rang whomever else to make sure that Alex had the best shot. Mm. He didn't. And the investigation has been asked by the coroner, hasn't happened. More disrespect to everyone concerned.
It is well, Graeme, it your experience and Alex's experience, and you know, you're right to say, had the ambulance arrived almost immediately, it was still going to be realistically too late for Alex.
Yes.
It would have meant that his organs could have been donated. But it flies in the face, that experience of the mantra that we always hear, which is, yes, that the health system is dysfunctional, but you know what? In an emergency, it works. That's what we're often told. You know what I mean? If you really need intervention, you will get that intervention. Yes, elective procedures are cancelled. Yes, people are on waiting lists all the time. But thank God, in an emergency, people get CT. I can't imagine a more acute emergency than watching your son having been hit by a car in front of your house. And he didn't get the help he needed.
He didn't get the help he needed. And again, we had the discussion, the fact my son was lying on the road for 45 minutes. The dignity of, we were getting texts from families, friends and family, who would walk, go up and down the road. And they knew, they were telling us that our son had had an accident, but whilst we were still on the way to the hospital. So, you know, that's quite a, it's a combination of the care for Alex, the slowness. As I said to David, under no illusion that the care he got was second to none. The nurses he got who were with him on the side of the road, the GP was with him. But it was just, they didn't have enough, they didn't have the infrastructure there to look after him, didn't have the suction there to clear his airways.
The unfortunate experience of helping with CPR in the wake of a road traffic accident last year, and the ambulance came about 5 minutes later at Fire Brigade, and I tell you, it was the longest 5 minutes of my life, and I cannot imagine, nobody listening to this show, very few, can imagine the situation you found yourselves in. How much solace would it have given you had you been able to donate his organs?
Oh, amazing. But the idea that his life was carrying on. You know, we had lost our son, but to know that he would have gone on to help. The donation of organs, five different people that he might have helped. That would have been, as I said, given my son's nature, that would have been immense. No words would describe how it helped.
David, often I mentioned the mantra about emergency intervention. Another mantra we're used to is, you know, it'll take somebody's death before something is done about this. I mean, we've had that now. We've had it up and down the country countless times.
Multiple times, and some of it we don't know because we don't have effective regulation in relation to the ambulance service, which can record and hold people accountable to it. And we've a lot of political noise in relation to supporting and pumping more money in. It's not all about money. It is not all about money, putting money in. Structures and systems. And again, we've other jurisdictions. We're the longest paramedic course in the world. We're the longest paramedic course in the world. We're the longest advanced paramedic course in the world. Why? But other jurisdictions have other evidence to show other ways to do it. We have a little cabal and a nice little family that wants to protect its own little kingdom, and patients are coming second. That's simply no longer good enough. And all of the waffle and all the noise we've heard in the past just isn't good enough and isn't credible anymore. And it is time that those multiple deaths that we know of, Kieran, there's many others that we may not be aware of, need to be recognised and respected.
David Hall, CEO of Lifeline Ambulance Service, and Graeme Helps. Graeme, thanks a million for joining us. David, thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.